This is definitely one of those follow that moments, isn't it, really? It's definitely. Great video. I love the wolf video. I wish I'd found it myself because it perfectly fits in with my talk. I do try and find creative things. You know, I don't never intend just to stand here and talk, which is what I end up doing. But I look for videos. But I just spend ages and ages looking at woodworking videos and all sorts of things. You know, just distracted. I never find the wolf video. Which in the first service did reappear in the middle of my talk. So if that happens again, I got my eye on Ed at the back there, not pressing any buttons, that suddenly wolves started crying out in the middle of my talk, which woke everyone up nicely. It wasn't an intended special effect. So one of the things we're doing in these Sundays over this season between New Year and Easter is trying to think through together how we can continue to encourage one another to be more confident in sharing our faith and living out our faith every day. We all know that this is not the point of it all. Gathering on a Sunday morning, great though it is, special though it is, important though it is, it's not the point of being a Christian. The point of being a Christian, according to Jesus, is that we operate as salt and light, making a difference in the world that we live in. And so what we're trying to think about in our services between New Year and Easter is how we could just encourage one another and be stirred up again to want to live that kind of life that makes a difference wherever we are every day. And one of the important things to take on board, I think, from the outset and the way that we've structured these thoughts over this particular little season is that in an ideal world, God's idea is that this should be a natural, back to the wolves, part of who we are. This should just be us living out the life that we've got. I think when we think about witnessing or sharing our faith as something that's a little bit of a skill that we've got to learn or a duty that we've got to fulfill, it becomes really hard, doesn't it? Think, oh, I've got to go to work today and witness. Ooh, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that. So rather than thinking about this as a skill we need to learn, I think what we need to focus on very much is how the work of the Holy Spirit in us makes us the kinds of people that just live out the good news of Jesus Christ and are willing to speak about the good news of Jesus Christ. Bearing in mind, of course, that it is supposed to be good news. And most of us don't find it too hard telling people about good news that we've received. I'm thinking some of you don't look totally convinced, but I think most of us, you know, I've had a new granddaughter, or just booked my holiday, or I just had this wonderful thing happen in my life, you know, my son's got engaged, or I don't know, whatever. Usually, we don't have any problem telling people good news stories. So it's a little bit bizarre, isn't it, that Christianity, which is supposed to be the good news, the gospel, seems sometimes to be hard for us to share with others. I wonder why that might be. There are all sorts of reasons, and we might think about some over these coming Sundays. But we've called this little series The Spirit of Mission because we very much want to focus on the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. Last year, as you know, if you were here regularly last year, you'll know that we spent a whole year working through the book of Acts. And one of the things that you notice time and time again as you work through the book of Acts is that the mission of God is very much carried out by the Spirit of God and people who join into cooperation with him. That it's not about what we can go out and do and hope that somehow God joins us, but rather it's about what God is doing in people's lives, in people's circumstances, that we identify and cooperate with. Philip being called by the Holy Spirit to run alongside the chariot, where the guy just happened to be reading from the book of Isaiah and just happened to want somebody to tell him what was happening. You know, that somehow or other, mission is not what we go out and try and grit our teeth and do for God in our offices and workplaces, but it's much more about joining into partnership with what God is doing already. So we've called this the Spirit of Mission, that as we engage with our everyday lives, how do we connect with the work of the Holy Spirit within us? And the passage I want to reflect on just for a few minutes this morning is a well-known passage from John chapter 3, which you may know. starts like this. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. And after dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, I don't know how Jesus' response strikes you, but it strikes me as a bit of a what they call a non sequitur. You know, that what Jesus says doesn't immediately seem to flow out of what Nicodemus appears to be interested in. The Pharisees, you may know, were a group that Jesus had a lot of interaction with and largely critical interaction, but the Pharisees at heart had a very good goal. They wanted to see in their country, Israel, God ruling, God reigning as king in his own country. They wanted to see the good things that God wanted to happen, happen in their experience. They recognized that God had a dream for his world, and part of his dream for his world was that their lives should be ordered under him. And the Pharisees, for all their mistaken ways of going about it, fundamentally wanted to see God's dream for his world happen. They wanted to see a world that was full of peace and joy and justice and love and goodness. I don't know if you want to see that or not, but if you do, you want God's dream for this world. That's what God's dream is for this world. And so they wanted to see the kingdom of God. And they thought that the way you would see, that you would kind of twist God's arm a little bit to come and do his stuff and put the world back together the right way up, was just by keeping the law and keeping the commandments. That if you just could live the right, good life, God would be convinced that now was the time to turn the world the right way up. So Jesus, when he answered Nicodemus, was actually hitting on something that Nicodemus wanted to see. He said, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." If you want to see God's dream for his world, if you want to see God's dream for your life, you just cannot engineer it and make it happen. There's something called being born again that needs to happen. Nicodemus was a literalist. "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you," he didn't soften, he reaffirmed what he just said. "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit." Jesus is very clear. This is not optional. You know, sometimes in the media, when you hear the phrase born-again Christian, it's usually used negatively, isn't it? If you're a born-again Christian in the Daily Mirror, then you are a bad person. You're a bigot or something. Because generally, the phrase in our culture, born-again Christian, tries to bracket out from the kind of Christianity that kind of is a bit grey and doesn't make a difference and doesn't offend anyone and just goes with the flow. That kind of Christianity is okay because you don't rock any boats and you don't make any headlines. But as soon as you start acting out of your principles and out of your faith and you stand out from the crowd a little bit, suddenly you must be a born-again Christian because you're taking this thing seriously. Jesus, on the other hand, kind of cuts through that dichotomy, that black and white thing about born again, not born again. It says, there's only one kind of Christian, guys. If you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to be in what God is doing, if you want to be part of God's vision and dream for your life and God's vision and dream for this world, if you want to be in on that, then you must be born again. Must. Jesus doesn't often use that word, but you must be born again. He said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a beautiful picture. We've talked about it a lot. We will keep talking about it a lot because Jesus talked about it all the time. It was his good news. The good news of Jesus Christ was that the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe this wonderful news. God's dream for his world is coming true, and you can be in on it. He's calling together a people who receive him as king and live together for the sake of his world. And that's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be part of church. It means that you've received Jesus Christ as king of your life. What he says is now what counts in your life. And you're joining together with other people who've made that same choice in order that you can make a difference in God's world and let the whole world know what it looks like when God's dream for his world comes true. And instead of bitterness, there's forgiveness. Instead of greed, there's generosity. All the things that God stands for painted across his world, which one day will happen, we're told in the Bible, when the whole earth will be filled of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's what we're looking forward to. But we're already in on that dream, that picture, that vision. And the very essence of Christianity is to recognize that that's what God's up to. And his gracious invitation is to be part of that with him. But the only way we can be part of God's dream is if we are spiritually renewed. It's not just about effort. It's not just about keeping the rules. It's not just about trying harder when I go to work to be a witness. It's about actually being spiritually transformed so that I am a different person when I go to work. I am a different person when I deal with my grandkids. I'm a different person when I go to Coffee One. It's not that I go to Coffee One to be a witness. Is that I go there as a new creation. And because of that, like the wolves, I have an unexpected impact on the people around me without even knowing it's happening. Jesus did that all the time. Because Jesus, of course, is the shape of the life that changes the world. Jesus himself, obscure for 30 years, filled with the Spirit at his baptism, became the person, the life that changed the world. Filled up with the Spirit, tuned into the Spirit, and poured out by the Spirit for the sake of the world. That's what it means to be born again. To live a life that's filled up by the Spirit, tuned into the Spirit, and poured out by the Spirit for every moment of every day. Not just for this on a Sunday morning, not just for our quiet times or our devotional times, but for wherever we are, filled up with the Spirit, tuned into the Spirit, and poured out by the Spirit. And so how do you do that? Well, Jesus says, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Now, I'm looking round, without wishing to be rude, I'm sure some of you have sat through quite a few sermons on this passage before. You look a certain vintage, some of us, that maybe this isn't a new passage to many of us in the room. And you've probably heard all sorts of theories about what it means to be born of water and born of the Spirit. Some people would say, well, the water birth, water reference, is to natural birth. You know, water's breaking, babies being born. Don't want to get too gynecological on you. And spirit birth, being born of the Spirit, is what Jesus is talking about, this new second birth. Others would say water, being born of water, is to be born through the waters of baptism. That's how you start the Christian life, baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And the spiritual bit is to do with the spirit baptism that comes through water baptism. Is that what water and spirit means? Well, both those things may be true, and they're good thoughts. Here's a third one. That Jesus was actually referring, as he so frequently did, to something in his scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. There's a passage in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel, prophesying to people, you remember, a nation who'd lost their identity, they'd lost their homeland, they'd lost their hope, they thought God had given up on them, they were in desperate situation in Babylon. And God sends a prophet called Ezekiel to speak to them. And Ezekiel says this to these hopeless people, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. Listen, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Notice there the two things, water and spirit. Jesus, I would suggest, picking up this well-known and loved Old Testament prophetic hope that one day God would do something that would set his people free to live the new life that he always wanted them to have. Not a life in captivity, not a life away from their homeland, not a life without their king, but actually reestablish Israel. And the images of water and spirits being given are images of renewal. They're images of cleansing. This new life will be a life where the old rubbish is washed away. It's a life where you can get rid of the junk that's ruined you thus far. It's a life where the old things don't count anymore. They've been dealt with. They've been done away with. They've been cleansed, washed, scrubbed clean. There is no past that now holds you back. But notice, we've sung about this morning already, that this promise is a promise of pure grace. Notice how often in those passages the word I will, the words I will come. I will take you from the nations. I will sprinkle you. I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart. I will put within you. I will remove the heart. This is grace. This is God saying when you're left with nothing at all, no hope, no resources, I will do something for you. You can't understand how, you can't believe that it could happen to you because you're just now lost and hopeless, but I will do something, believe me, trust me, I will do something that takes you beyond your own resources, beyond your own ability to sort this mess out. I will do something. It's grace. It comes to us out of nowhere and it sets us free. That's God's promise. The new life, being born again, the new life isn't something that we work up to by just praying a bit more or trying a bit harder or whatever, whatever. It's actually grace. It's actually God doing something. How do you explain it? You can't explain it. That was Jesus' point. It's like, where does the wind come from? I've no idea. I just know that it's blowing. Where does new birth come from? I don't really understand it. I just know that it's growing. You know when you've been born again because things start changing within you. Attitudes, ambitions, desires, longings that you never had before because now something new is happening in your life and it's a work of grace. And the passage goes on to say, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers and you shall be my people and I will be your God. Notice there, thirdly, that the new life is about a new code of conduct, if you like. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. That's what the presence of the Spirit does, because what the Spirit does, it aligns us with God himself. It is the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God's love, God's truth, God's holiness. That's why it's called the Holy Spirit, who comes and lives with us and transforms us from the inside out. Our desires, our attitudes, our ambitions, it forms within us a life of holiness. And that's why we desperately need this new birth, this life of the Spirit, when we walk this earth, to walk this earth as distinct people. People who are dancing to a different tune. We're listening to a different voice. We're after a different end. Because now the Spirit of God is forming God's dream for his world in us. And he's animating us to be part of fulfilling God's dream for this world. It's not, again, something that we kind of set one another as a task to do. It's actually a natural overflow of being who we are as renewed, transformed people. Jesus went on to say, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for people that are in tune with him, in tune with his Spirit, listening to that voice from heaven when we're at work, when we're with friends, when we're at the pub. What is God doing and saying here? Only spiritual antennae can actually tune into what the Spirit is doing when we're with our friends and mates and colleagues and family. We need to be born again so that we can hear what God is saying and see what God is doing. Otherwise, our faculties are just dead. Only the Spirit of Jesus can form the life of Jesus. No amount of human effort can do that. And I don't know what sort of life you are hungry for, or I am hungry for. Rather, I do know what sort of life I'm hungry for, and I know I'm a million miles from where I want to be. But I know that when I look at the life of Jesus, I see the kind of life that I would like to live. I see the kind of generosity that I would like to have. I see the kind of compassion I would like to have. I see the kind of clarity of thought I would like to have. Myrtle and I are just reading through Matthew's gospel at the moment as part of our readings in the morning. And time and again, Jesus is just so wise. I would love to be able to respond to people like Jesus responded to people. Just the right thing at the right time. And I go away, you know, like driving home from a meeting, I think, I wish I'd said that. Or I wish I hadn't said that. well, why on earth did I say that? You know, I'd love to be like Jesus, have the wisdom of Jesus just for that moment. I'd love to have the spiritual power of Jesus just to be able to reach out and touch people and set them free from their difficulties. And I'd love to have that kind of life. And if you'd love to have that kind of life, then you'd love to have God's dream for the world. God's putting his dream for the world inside you already. That's how you know God's already at work in you, because you already have God's dream to be that kind of person. Normal people don't have that dream. People that have that dream have already been touched by the Spirit of God. And if you'd like to be that kind of person, then you need to hear Jesus' words. I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. God's dream for the world will be nothing to you. But once the Spirit of God's at work in you, it's everything to you. And your job and your family and your hobbies and your time out, everything begins to get bent towards seeing God's dream for the world come true and the kingdom of God come. Can you be born again, again? And again. How many times can you be born again? Well, I think technically the correct answer to that is once. You can only be born physically once, and you can only be born spiritually once. But just as there are multiple times when you can reaffirm who you were born to be in the natural world, like the prodigal son, we can wander off and come home. I think in the spiritual world, we can say, well, I was born again, I have been born again, I am born again. But I'd love to reaffirm that that's the life I want to live. I'd love to reaffirm that actually this is what I'm up for. I want to be born again again. Well, if you do, we're going to pray in a moment. We're going to sing a song as a prayer. And maybe we can just this morning, at the start of a new year, reaffirm the importance of this great truth that when we go to work, when we go to wherever we go, in our front lines, on some of those images that are around the screen, walking the dog, teaching in a classroom, whatever we do, building bridges, we do it because we've been called to it by Jesus Christ, and we do it in the presence of Jesus Christ, and we do it in the power of Jesus Christ, and we do it for the purposes of Jesus Christ. That's why we live, to see God's dream for his world come true.